John chapter 20. What a blessing to be here this morning. We've had a wonderful time. We so appreciate being in a good church and good people and being able to serve the Lord. And I always enjoy that. By the way, out of curiosity, are there any people in here that are now or formerly in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, medics, or anybody? Hold up your hand for a minute. Bunch of people, several people here in the back as well. Thinking, I hope you all looked around. I tell you why I asked that, because for some reason, this is the missions conference, and so one of the things we do in a missions conference is we talk about giving and having a part of a missions program above our tithes and offerings and being able to all participate and giving to a missions ministry, like helping to support these couples and sending them out. But it takes money. And I've noticed for some reason when I preach on money, I see people that start hyperventilating. People, the blood pressures go up, you know. I mean, it's really dangerous. And so I wanted you all to see the people around here just in case something happens to you. Don't worry about it. We've got the medical profession here. They know how to revive you and keep you going if you feel it. So now, don't get up in the middle of the sermon and go to the nursery, because we already know you don't have any children in the nursery. So you just stay put. You'll be taken care of well, I am confident. John chapter 20, I want to start reading there, just a few verses, starting over in verse 19. And a story that we're familiar with, section of Scripture. But in John chapter 20, and beginning in verse 19, follow with me if you would. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God that we have, the privilege to be able to have. And I pray now, Lord, your blessings on this message and this meeting and our time together. Thank you for the beautiful music we've already heard and participated in. And now, Lord, just stir our hearts. We're here, we're at church. Many of us have gone to church most all of our lives. But, Lord, somehow just kind of motivate us, encourage us to do our best for Jesus. And I pray, dear Lord, for one that may still be confused about the matter of salvation, that would be clarified for them as well. Do bless now, Lord, I pray, and use our time together. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. If we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, ask yourself, what is the one, the one main thing about the Lord that's different? We heard from these other people, the folks going to, Brother Abraham going to back to Myanmar, Buddhist people. Is Buddha still alive? Nope. I think about the folks that are going to Indonesia, Brother Josh and his family, and you think, is Muhammad still alive? Nope. You think about Christianity. Is Jesus still alive? Amen. Glory to God. He is still alive. And the one distinguishing factor that differentiates Christianity among all other religions is the fact that we serve a risen, resurrected Savior. And praise the Lord for that. And what a joy it is to be able to know Christ as our very own Savior, and to know and be able to declare He is alive. The grave could not hold Him down at all. And praise the Lord for that. So we're thankful for that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ in our text here, He had already been crucified. He had been buried. And now Mary Magdalene comes back to the grave and just wanted to check on the Lord and comes back to the grave and finds a stone rolled away from the grave that was there. And so she was mystified by it all, scared to death, and goes running to the other disciples and told them, "My goodness, something has happened here. The Lord is gone." And then the disciples were assembled together. And that's when he said there that that same time, in verse 19, that the same day at evening, before the first day of the week, when the doors were shut there, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, it came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." I mean, you think, and we read this sometime, but let me ask you something. When was the last time you saw someone buried and a few days later they showed up in the kitchen? I mean, would you have been a little nervous about it? I think probably so. Would you have been like, your jaw dropping open and you're frozen stiff and you don't know what to do or what direction to go in? I think you probably would. And that's what happened here when the Lord said he knew what was happening and they were scared to death. They thought normally like that, when if you'd see angels, which they heard about before, that maybe it's the death knell that's coming on us. But he said, "Look, peace be unto you. Don't worry about it. Just peace be unto you. Look at my hands." You know, Jesus said, "Look at my side." And he wanted to calm their nerves a little bit. So he told them, just relax with this thing. And I believe that Jesus, prior to this time, had already started his church, and he's going back and trying to give them some direction as a church and what they were to be doing. And he said to them in verse 21, he said, "Then said Jesus to them," these disciples again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So now he is commissioning these people, as he did elsewhere in Matthew and the Great Commission, and Luke and Luke 24, and now John here, and then in Acts chapter 1. He's giving the commission and letting them know, "I want you to go out and be involved in ministry. I want you to go out and see people get saved and born again into God's family." So he also told them, in essence, that they would be able to kind of confirm what God was doing there and seeing people saved and growing spiritually as well. Look what he said, if you would, and then I will move on. So he said, told them, "Receive the Holy Ghost," in verse 22. In verse 23, he said, "Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." He is simply saying, you're going to be able to know when someone has been born again. He is not letting them know that, hey, you can go out and lay hands on somebody and their sins are going to be forgiven at all. Because the Bible says, who can forgive sin but God only, in Mark chapter 2 and verse 7. God's the only one that can forgive sin. We come to churches like this, and wonderful churches, and you can go to church anywhere in the world. And sometimes people in their mind, you know, I haven't been living the greatest life, and maybe I need to go to church and kind of rub shoulders with some spiritual people, and that'll help me. And then God will see my sincerity of my life, and that'll help me a little bit. And I can be forgiven, and may I be prepared to be able to go to heaven. And that's the way a lot of folk think, but we understand that through Jesus Christ alone can anyone ever go to heaven. So what did Jesus come to do when he said, look, I'm sending you all out. I want to send you out, do it just as I did. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And with the Lord going out to be able to reach people for Christ himself, which is exactly what he did, and then be able to see the church get going, we realized to be able to send out missionary evangelists like the three families that you have here today, it does take money. It does take something. And, you know, for all of us who've been saved, any one of us that ever got saved, somebody before us gave money to be able to help. Either gave money to buy a Bible or to print a Bible so we could read it, or to come and tell us about Christ, or to give us a gospel tract, or somebody preaching the Word of God like you do in the church here. Somewhere along the line, it took some, not just effort, but some finances to be able to get any of us saved. And the God knows that, and so he set up a program in the Bible for that. So we call it Faith Promise Missions Giving, or Grace Giving. And I think that's what God wants all of us to be involved in. So when it comes to missions giving, and thinking about supporting these people, these missionary men, their families, it takes the coins. And so what they do, they don't normally have the kind of finances to be able to support themselves and go by themselves. And countries won't let them go into the country and work there because most of them don't allow that, like we do in America, we allow it. But most countries don't allow that unless you're born there. And so they need to raise support to be able to go out and talk to other people about the Lord. And their whole goal is not just to go and be a witness per se, but their goal is they're trying to get people saved, born into God's family, and see them come to know Christ as their Savior. That's what they all want to do. They want to be a witness, a testimony for Jesus Christ. But then get the people and assemble them together and start a church. And a church that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Calvary Baptist Church. So what your goal is to replicate and duplicate what's going on here with God's involvement in the lives of these three missionary evangelists as they go out to start churches to be able to see the same thing. So we want to duplicate a Calvary Baptist Church in Indonesia and in Mexico and in Myanmar. You want to be able to duplicate it and have more Calvary Baptist churches out there. The facilities won't look like this, but the people won't look exactly like us, but they have hearts, and we want to reach people for Jesus Christ and see them get saved. And then what they do is they get things going, the church going and established. They get some men called into the ministry. They teach and train those men, and then they eventually turn that work over to perhaps one of them or another preacher, and they go out and do the same thing, start all over again, and knock on doors and try to win more people to Jesus Christ, get them together, establish a church, and teach and train those people, disciple them in the Lord, and be able to help them grow spiritually and be what they ought to be, and then encourage them to go out and do the same thing again. So all of it takes giving. Now, I state, and very quickly, I want us to think for a few moments, why should we be involved in giving? I mean, after all, it's tough enough as it is today, particularly with the economy like it is right now, kind of shaky. Those invested in the stock market, it's kind of like one of these numbers for a while, and it's got its ups and downs, and who knows what's going to happen after the election. And that's all the politics I'm getting involved in. But I wanted to get you thinking about it. But I think, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know anything about the future. I mean, you may have something today, and tomorrow's gone. Who knows what's going to happen? But the one thing is we can trust in our Lord, and I can be involved in what he wants me to be involved in. So I care about work, and I care about the ministry, and I care about doing for others, and God wants all of us to be involved. So now, why should every believer be involved in Faith Promise Missions giving? We give our tithes. That's the beginning place for anyone who's a born-again believer. We give our tithes, the 10% of our gross income, but above that, we can also give for the work and ministry. One reason why I involve myself, my wife and I, one reason why we involve ourselves in grace giving and Faith Promise Missions giving is because lost souls, people without Jesus Christ, are going to a Christless hell. So without Jesus, that's where I would be headed right now. You say, well, but maybe it's just because everybody's nice. You don't go to heaven because you're nice. You go to heaven only because you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ and you put your faith and trust in him, repented of your sin, he saves your soul. That's it. I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the me that said that is Jesus Christ. He has no other name for salvation. It's Jesus alone, the Son of God, God the Son. So we care about those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said when the Lord comes back, it will be in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9. It's going to be serious stuff when Jesus comes back, and we want to be ready. God says that all lost people will be going into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, in Mark 9:43. So I don't believe all that hellfire, damnation preaching. I just don't believe in that. You may not believe it, But you'll find out the truth about it someday if you don't get saved. It's vitally important that we come to Christ. The Bible gives us the only way, and it's important. And so I care about people, just like I'm sure most of you all care about people. And because I care, I've never been to Burma, and I haven't been to Indonesia, and I've been to Mexico, and millions upon millions of people. And I think, wow, I mean, people everywhere, even though we don't know them, as a believer, I want them saved, don't you? I mean, don't you want to see them get saved and let them have the opportunity of hearing a preacher proclaim the Word of God to share the truth with them so they can be born to God's family? Sure we do. We care about lost people dying and going to hell. And personally, I give money above my tithes and offerings because I want to have a part in all those people that, Lord willing, will get saved in these other countries that are out there as well. So that's one reason why, because we care about lost souls dying and going to hell. There's a second reason that we give, and everyone should be involved in it, is because it allows us to exercise personal faith. When I started our church 50 years ago this month in Fairfax, Virginia, I didn't know anything about Faith Promise Missions. I never heard of it. Didn't know anything about grace giving. I just knew that we had to be involved in missions and world evangelism, and we had to be sharing with other people about Christ, and we had to support missionaries. I always heard about that when I was a kid, but I wasn't a Christian. But I knew that was part of this Christianity, and I had been saved now when I was starting the church. I think every pastor in an independent Baptist church should be saved when they're preaching. So I was saved by that time, and I got saved when I was 21, and thank God for what he did for me. But I think, Lord, I want the faith. But when we started out as a church and we just put it in our budget, it never required any faith on any member's part to be able to budget amount of money, because we just took it out of the general offering and gave it to our missionaries. And that's fine for some people. But we can do a whole lot more for that when we involve ourselves in missions and through grace giving and faith promise missions giving. A lot more can get done if I just put my heart into that. So it becomes incumbent upon me as a member of Calvary Baptist Church, for those of you that are members here, to say, you know what, I want to have a part in this thing. I want to make sure that when these three missionaries and their families go to a foreign country, that I want to know that maybe just a little bit of the money that I'm doing is helping them to preach the Word of God, to stay on the foreign field, to tell more people about Jesus Christ. I want to be involved in that. I want to have the faith to trust God. So I'm going to say, Lord, things aren't going real great right now, and I don't have a lot of extra money, nothing extra right now. But dear God, I'm going to commit myself above my tithes and offerings to be able to give this in Faith Promise Missions giving. And by faith, I'm going to trust God for it, and I'm going to walk with the Lord and let him work through me as well. So the Bible lets us know, I want to be involved in this thing. And the Bible says, by the way, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, I think, the blessings of the Lord. And we've all been blessed. I mean, most all of us, anyone in here, by the way, I'm sure, even if you're on welfare, you're making more money than the average person in the world, than 90% of the people in the world. So I think all of us can just thank the Lord for it. So I want to exercise the faith, because I realize, again, without faith, it is impossible, the Bible says, to please God. In Hebrews 11:6, I want to please the Lord. I mean, after all, Jesus died in our place. He saves our soul. He shed his blood to provide forgiveness and redemption for my sins. The least I could do then is to say, Lord, here am I. Use me any way you want. I'll go to the mission field. I'll work here in America. I'll get involved in Calvary Baptist Church and roll up my sleeves and get busy for God. Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Just use me. That's my great goal. So it allows me to exercise faith. So as you make a commitment to the Lord and you fill out your card this morning, for those of you here and the members, it's an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to do a work for me. Instead of thinking right now, you know, we're just a few months away from the 1st of January, which is when most people get a pay raise, if they're going to get a pay raise. Instead of thinking, you know, when we do that, I'm going to get that car. I'm going to get that new washing machine. I'm going to get that bike I want. I'm going to get that honey. I'm going to get that boat. Instead of that, just say, you know what, Lord? I know I'm more than likely get a pay raise. And by the grace of God, I want to make a commitment to you. I want to give some of that to you, Lord, and just thanking you as well. You say, well, but I'm retired, and I often wonder, I think about some of you old people, and my wife says, honey, have you looked in the mirror lately? No. but anyhow, I think old people, you know, sometimes we save up a little bit of money, and we get some savings, and we think, my goodness, there's nobody else going to take care of me when I get old. I've got to take care of myself, and I've got to make sure I've got the funds, and you don't ever know what's going to happen out there. You've got your children, you want to be able to give it the good inheritance to. And so you save up the money, and you think, I'm just going to keep it all, and then when I die, I'm going to divide it all up with my children and my grandchildren. You think, because they're just good Christian people, and they just love God, and they just, you know. And by the way, after pastoring for 35 years and seeing a lot of people die through the years, I want to tell you something. Not all of your children are real spiritual people when it comes to money. And so I promise you, there are going to be some that are not going to be thankful for what they didn't get as much as the older brother or sister got, or they thought, oh, good night, Mom and Dad. I thought y'all had more than that. I mean, that's kind of puny, if you ask me. All the gripe, you might as well just send it on ahead of you and let God use it right now because he can. So I think I want to exercise the faith. I'll tell you another reason why I involve myself in Faith Promise Missions giving is because it shows that I am a team player. Participating in the grace-giving commitment above my tithes and offerings through my local church lets everybody know, and family-wise, church-wise, or at least lets me know that I'm part of this team. I'm part of the family of God here at Calvary Baptist Church. And so the Bible said, upon the first day of the week, let every man lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. So according as God has prospered me, I want to make sure that I take care of the work of the Lord and I do exactly what God wants me to do and have a part in. So I think I want to be a team player. I want to give my best. I want to do what I can. You say, well, what about all the other ministries that are out there? And I say, just let the liberals pay for all of those and let all the other denominational people. We have one thing that we really want emphasized, the same one thing that you emphasize here in the church, and that is sending out men of God and their families to go out, win lost people, and establish churches for Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's what our missions program is all about. And we have a few other mission projects along the way. But my commitment and the commitment you make today will show to yourself and your heart that, hey, I'm going to be a team player. I love my Lord. I love my church. I love my pastor. I love what we're doing. I love the direction he's taking us. I just want to have a part in all of this by the grace of God. But I'll tell you another thing. Hold your finger here a minute. Look over in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Back in Matthew chapter 6 for just a moment in your Bible. Because it reminds me of something else. And that is, it helps me to lay up treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 19. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think, Lord, I want to be involved in ministry. I want to be involved in sharing with others as well and seeing as other people get saved because of everything you have done, Lord, for me. And I want to give my best. Say, well, but I've got a big mortgage payment, and I've got a car payment, and I've got school bills to take care of, and furnishings to take care of that I've got to work on. I've got the school payments, and I've got Dunkin' Donut payments to do, and I've got these important things in my life, and I think I can't afford anything else above my tithes for the Lord. But I remind us, everything is a choice. I make up my mind what I want to do. We all have X number of dollars, and we don't compare ourselves by ourselves. Bible says that's foolishness to be able to do. But it's our attitude means everything in the world. Do I have a heart for it? Because really, wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Maybe it's in my house. Maybe it's in my car. Maybe it's in my education. Maybe it's in my kids. Wherever my treasure is, that's where my heart is. My wife and I made up our minds back in the 1980s that the largest check we were going to write every month was going to be to the Lord for missions and world evangelism. And so that took some doings for us back then to be able to give to the Lord. And I think, Lord, we just want to please you. And I want to lay up those treasures in heaven as well. But it's about attitude. It's not like grudgingly give. God, Bible says, what kind is a giver does the Lord love? He loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody that's a hilarious giver. Loves. And it's all about attitude. Say, yeah, attitude. Who wants? I was reading a story one time about this lady, and I was thinking about attitudes. She woke up one morning and realized she only had 3 strands of hair on her head. And she had to figure out, well, now how in the world am I going to fix my hair this morning with only 3 strands of hair? And so she said, I know what I'll do. I'll braid it. So she reaches up there. And now, no big deal for some of us. We're used to it. But she fixes those 3 hairs, and she goes out, has a wonderful day, comes back, goes to bed at night, wakes up in the morning, and she has only 2 hairs on her head. And she thought, how am I going to fix my hair this morning? You know, so she said, I know what I'll do. I'll just part it down the middle. So she took one hair here and one here. Went out, had a wonderful day, had a great time, and then she went to bed, woke up the next morning, only 1 hair was on her head. Now how am I going to fix my hair? So she thought, I'll wear a ponytail. So she took the 1 hair, and she put it in the back of her head, and she went around all day long with her ponytail. I had a wonderful day, everything was great, and she didn't know what was going to happen the next morning. She woke up the next morning, she didn't have a hair on her head. She said, hallelujah, I don't have to worry about how to fix my hair. Attitude. You know, I mean, it's attitude. And they think money is just money. It's an attitude. So God says, don't love it, because there's no future in loving money. If I can just get some more and work some more here, there's no future for that at all. But I think, Lord, I want to have the right attitude. And I look and I think, this is a day of opportunity for me to invest in the work and ministry of my wonderful Lord. And I think, too, how God has been so good to each of us, I am sure, which is why each of us needs to be involved. I'm not waiting on, say, well, I just don't have the money that so-and-so has. I don't have those kind of coins that so-and-so has. You don't have to. Maybe you're still operating as a young person with an allowance or something. And if it's not big enough, tell your dad you've got to have more money, because it's important. When you go out for coffee or Starbucks or whatever you need to do with your dunk, I mean, it's important that you have a pocket full of coins. But I'm thinking, whoever we are, it's not a matter of, well, if I had that, or if I had all theirs. No, it's just a matter of, Lord, what would you have me to do? I can make that kind of commitment. And let me say this to us, although we want to be involved in ministering. And by the way, I noticed there were only 3 people had to be taken out for hyperventilating. And I'm just so glad that everybody's safe right now from all this. But I stop and think, Lord, you've done so much for us. And I want to care about lost souls. And you say, well, I do. And it's kind of like, well, prove it. And Lord, I want my faith increased. Well, prove it. An opportunity this morning as you make your commitment to prove your faith to God. And I want to be a team player, and I want to make sure I can start laying things up in heaven as I really ought to do, and God has been so good to me. But may I say this to us? You could give millions of dollars to missions right now in response to the Word of God. But if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, it's of no value to you personally. You can't buy your way into heaven. I don't care how much you give. I don't care what your commitment is. We're not comparing any of that. It makes no difference. Because you can't earn and stair-step your way to get up to heaven. It's by the grace of God alone. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could work our way to heaven, there'd be a lot of us saying, boy, if you could be as good as I am, you could go to... There's none of us good enough. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. No one. It's all in Jesus. Do you really believe in Jesus? Not just as a figurehead, or not like you do George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. We didn't know them. But where you accept Christ as your Savior and say, I realize He died for me personally. And if I put my faith in Him, He'll deliver me from ever having to go to hell, and I'll spend my forever with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing that is. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. Father in heaven, I thank You for our time together. And Lord, I do pray You'll help each one of us to be involved in missions giving, Lord, and faith promise giving and grace giving, Lord. Help us to be able to say as men, as for me and my house, we're going to give to missions and world evangelism. And Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and young person that You'll just challenge us, Lord, that by faith, by Your grace, we'll have You to work in our lives and we'll make the largest commitment we've ever made to You, Lord, by our commitment this morning. Help us, Lord, to exercise the faith we need and our trust in You.